Hi, yeah, this is Yuqiang from Intel. Yeah, I'm sorry. So I'm going to. I think there are only 3 minutes left, so maybe I can begin to share my screen.
Okay, please do it.
Okay.
We are looking forward to hear your presentation.
Okay. So are you able to see my slides now?
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Yuqiang. My name is Yuqiang Chen from Intel, and we our team are currently working on a WebRTC related project, which is named Intel Collaboration Suite for WebRTC. So, I'm glad to be here, and thanks a lot for giving us the opportunity to introduce our solution, and we appreciate the chance to discuss with you guys about the WebRTC related technologies. Okay. So this is a brief introduction about Intel Collaboration Suite for WebRTC. We actually started this project two to three years ago. And we'd like to express our special thanks to the Lycode team. Actually, two or three years ago when we tried to explore the WebRTC related area, the Lycode actually is there. It's a good start point for us to actually initiate this project and to develop our solution. So in our solution, we provide three major components. The first is a conference server, and we also have the gateway and also the client SDK. A conference server is actually WebRTC MCU server, which is able to collect many multiple party endpoints, and we also provide the media processing capabilities. For example, we can do real-time transcoding if the endpoints have different codec support. We also do media mixing. So if we can mix multiple input streams into one stream, and then send out to the receivers. This is in order to actually adapt to some client devices which has limited processing capabilities, in order to enable multiple party conferences on such kind of devices. And as well as to adapt to some network conditions if the network bandwidth is a problem. So we also support actually multiple streaming output. We can also call this selective forwarding or mixing. So for the mixed streams, we can support multiple outputs with different resolutions, different frame rate settings, or different codecs. This is also trying to adapt to different kinds of devices, the client devices. And also, in order to adapt to the network conditions, we implement the QoS control in our server, which is fully compliant with the RFC protocols used by WebRTC. We actually implemented the RTC protocols which are necessary for the QoS control, including the key frame request, packet loss protection, or audio and processing. So we will have a more detailed description of those major features in the next slide. Yeah. We also enabled the Treacle SAE support in our conference server in order to speed up the collection, the peer collection establishment process with the client, with the endpoint. So for Gateway, we a typical example is that we can we allow the WebRTC users to be able to call in to a SIP device or to join a SIP conference through our gateway. So we do protocol translation and the codec transcoding if necessary. I also, similar to the conference server, also provide OQoS implementation. And for SDK, we currently provide the SDK on most platforms, including the JavaScript SDK for browsers, and we provide Android and iOS native SDKs, as well as the Windows native SDK. So developers can use our SDK on those platforms to develop the applications and use our conference server and gateway service. We also developed an IE browser plugin. This is for the legacy IE plugin, not Edge. And the currently, we still don't support Edge browser yet because it's using currently the Edge browser implementation is YTC based and the codec is the special one. So Edge is not supported for now. So basically, this is whole picture of our solution, including the conference server gateway, and we provide the SDKs for the developers to develop applications which can utilize our conference server and gateway functionality. Okay, this picture actually tries to describe our WebRTC server capability to collect different kinds of endpoints. And the WebRTC server is actually not only for WebRTC endpoints. We, as I just mentioned, we also support some devices and endpoints with other protocols. One example is one typical example is the SIP client. So we can accept the video and audio streams from WebRTC endpoints either from the browser or from some native applications, for example, Android, iOS, or Windows, if those applications are developed based on our SDK. And we also support SIP devices. SIP streams can also be pushed into our WebRTC server. For the RTSP, we also support RTSP protocol. So because the RTSP protocol is currently widely used by some IP cameras, so if we add this support to allow some user cases, like you can use the is a typical browser, Chrome or Firefox, for example, on your phone or on your laptop. So you can just to do monitoring without installing any third-party applications. You can just use the browser to get the stream video and audio from IP cameras to our server. So we can we can also output the streams generated by our WebRTC server or forwarded by our WebRTC server can be sent out to WebRTC endpoints either to browser or native clients. We also support RTSP output. This is a very interesting use case. As we know that currently the online broadcasting is very hot, at least in China. So And many of the online broadcasting systems are using based on RTSP, and there's typically there will be a RTSP server to do which is a broadcasting server. So if we can send the streams generated by our WebRTC server to another RTSP server, so we can broadcast our, for example, WebRTC conferences we can do broadcasting through this way. And the file output allows us to do recording, and also the SIP output allows us to send WebRTC or RTSP streams to some SIP devices or SIP conferences. Meanwhile, we also worked with some partners, some video or audio conference providers to actually to support their private protocols. So we do protocol translation or media transcoding to allow the WebRTC users to be able to use their video or audio cloud service. So this is another kind of gateway. So basically, we try to our goal is to collecting endpoints as many as possible, either, no matter if, what protocols and which codecs they are using. So we are still trying to add more and more support, more and more protocol support in our WebRTC server. So this picture just lists the current support list of our server. Okay, so we are able to collect different protocols, different endpoints with different protocols, and so those streams from those devices sent to our MCU, and actually in order to adapt to different kinds of devices and network conditions, our MCU did further media processing like selective forwarding and mixing to support various kinds of devices, various kinds of endpoints. So the streams sent to our MCU can be just forwarded to another endpoint if they like, and we can also mix the streams together, and the mixed streams can have multiple outputs. Some streams may have, for example, low resolution, or some streams can have a higher definition, higher resolution, and they can also have different codec support. And all of these are fully configurable by and. They are actually generated on demand from the request from the clients. So if the clients using our SDK, our client SDK can request the MCU to generate the streams. For example, you can ask the MCU to generate a mixed stream with a specific resolution, with a specific codec, and some other clients may just ask the MCU to forward some streams from a space-based participant. So this is basically fully depend on the client. So we do this also trying to actually adapt to different devices and different network conditions. So, in order to actually support different endpoints with different protocols, and also in order to support actually customized media processing MCU, we think that there are many possible media pipelines. in our MCU to support such kind of flexibility. In some cases, we may just need to do some forwarding, packet forwarding, but in some other cases, we may need to do some decoding and mixing and encoding stuff. So we see there's a strong need to for the media pipelines in the MCU actually, there are many possible media pipelines in our MCU. So we see there's a strong need for some basic building blocks for the media pipeline, so that if we have some basic building blocks, we can construct the media pipelines according to the input and output requests. So in our MCU, we provide those kinds of basic building blocks for media pipelines, including the frame constructor, which has to construct frames, video and audio frames from the package received from the network. And we have the frame decoder, which decodes the constructed frames and into raw frames. And we have a frame compositor, which actually composites multiple input streams into one frame according to the description, layout description specified by the users and by the. And we have the frame encoder to encode the raw frames into the encoded frames according to the resolutions and codec specified. So before sending the frames out to the endpoints, we need a frame packetizer to packetize the frames into packets. So all of the basic those basic building blocks of media pipelines, we provide a basic abstract interface of those building blocks, and we have different implementations with those building blocks. Some of them are actually we currently have the software implementations which try to use the CPU to do such things. We also have another version especially the frame decoder and the encoder implementations, which leverages the GPU hardware capability on Intel platforms to speed up the decoding and encoding or compositing process. This is an example of a media pipeline, which describes the case when the input is from an ATSP input and the output is to a WebRTC browser. For example, the ATSP input may many of the ATSP input is H.264 codec encoded, and if we are using a WebRTC endpoint which only supports the VP8 codec, so we will probably do some decoding, compilation, and encoding, packetizing stuff. Yeah, this is how we actually implement the QoS, network QoS. So as I mentioned before, we actually implement the network QoS based on the RFC protocols, and they are actually fully compliant with the current WebRTC implementation, like the browsers of Chrome and Firefox. So we have, for example, we have the sender report and the receiver report support to get the network statistics and to do audio and video sync. And we have TOI and FIR support to for the video key frame request. And we have the lag support, lag and FVC support to for packet loss protection and recovery. And the IMB support to control the bitrate, control the video bitrate dynamically to adapt to the network conditions. Yeah, so previously I described some core functionalities of our MCU and our solution, including the media processing capabilities and the network QoS related technologies implemented in our MCU and solution. So another important point is that if we are providing a solution and a service for example, for multiple and targeting multiple targeting many end users, we think that the high availability service is very important. So we also tries to address this issue with distributed and scalable MCU architecture. So we actually the MCU is there are more details in later slides, but I can give a brief introduction about this in this page. So we have actually our MCU have many different kinds of servers depending on which have different kinds of those. For example, we have a signaling server which tries to talk with the endpoints, talk with the clients, with the custom signaling protocols we define. So if you are using our SDK, you don't need to care about the signaling protocols, because you can just use our SDK APIs to APIs may like something like a join or leave a conference or publish and or subscribe some streams. So the SDK will talk with the signaling server about such kind of activities from the client. The signaling server also actually have some control messages sent to other servers. The remaining servers actually for many for media processing capability tasks, including the access loads. The access loads actually is responsible for maintaining the peer connection between the client and the MCU. So the video and audio streams sent from the device, the client, will be sent to the accessing node, and the streams generated by the MCU, which will be sent to the devices, will also go through from the access nodes. So basically, the access nodes, the role is to forward the streams from the client, and also to send out the streams to the client. We also have the media processing servers, which tries to do the real media processing tasks like the data decoding, encoding, and mixing. So, if the stream from one client is going to be mixed or to be transcoded, it will be firstly sent to an access node, and the access node will will construct the frame from the packet received on the network, and the constructed frames will be further sent to the media, to the media processing servers, and the media processing servers will do decoding and mixing and encoding stuff. And after the frames, after the frames are encoded, the media stream, media processing server will send out the encoded streams to another or the same access node, and the access node will packetize those frames before sending them out to a device, to a client device. So we can have many access nodes in the same conference. We can have many access nodes. We can have different devices can select a different access nodes if necessary, and we also provide some basic treaty policy to schedule an access node for a given WebRTC client. And we also provide some interfaces for some third parties to customize the selection policy. For example, if one use case is that the clients from different locations or from different networks can select the access node which is most most close to the client devices. So this is the whole picture of the distributed and scalable architecture of our MCU, which we currently implement. And we have a more detailed description in later in the following slide. So this is about the control messages in the distributed MCU. I just mentioned that there's a signaling server which receives the signaling messages from the client, like join and leave a conference and publish or subscribe or some streams. So those can This is the role of the, we call this portal. The signaling server is actually the portal in this page. And when the signaling server receives the signals from the client, it will interpret those signals and translate them to some internal control messages. And it needs a channel to actually notify the, for example, the access to notify the access node, to make sure the access node to begin to establish the peer collection with the endpoint with the client, if the client is going to publish or subscribe some video and audio streams. So in some cases, we also need the audio and video processing. So the audio processing and video processing nodes are actually what the media processing nodes I mentioned just now. So we also need some control messages which are needed to send out to the audio and video processing nodes radio, for example, decoding and encoding mixing, such kind of tasks. We have a cluster manager to manage all of the loads in the cluster, and the cluster manager will monitor the state of all of the loads in this cluster. Well, actually, the loads, no matter which, if they are accessing node or audio and video processing or recording node, they will report some states regularly, and those states may include something like then CPU usage, GPU usage, and memory usage, as well as network usage. But the metrics may be a little bit different depending on what kind of nodes they are. For example, the access nodes may be may report the network usages, and the video processing node may report its CPU and GPU usage. So the cluster manager will get such kind of states from those nodes, and the cluster manager will also monitor the status of all of the nodes, and also to do scheduling of those nodes based on the scheduling policy is also configurable. So we have some internal policies, like for example, based on the CPU, on the usage of network or CPU GPU, and we also provide the interface for third party users to provide the customized scheduling policy for those loads. So all of those loads, including portals and accessing nodes, video and audio processing nodes, and as well as the cluster manager, all connected to a message broker so that they can exchange the control messages within the cluster. So about the media stream flow in the distributed MCU cluster, if an accessing node received streams from a WebRTC client from a publisher, there are many choices the accessing node can do. It also depends on actually how the receiver subscriber wants to have. For example, if a subscriber B just wants to receive a forwarded stream, the accessing nodes can just forward the streams it received from the publisher to the subscriber B. But if the subscriber B have a different accessing node, other than the accessing node which receives the streams from publisher. So the accessing node will actually forward the audio and video streams to another accessing node, and then go to the subscriber B. And if there's another subscriber A which tries to receive the mixed streams, so we can see that the accessing node can send out the audio frame to the audio processing node and send out the video frame to the video processing node. And after the audio frames and video frames are both processed by the audio processing node and video processing node, the media processing node will send back the processed frames to the access nodes again. And the access nodes then will packetize those audio and video frames and send out to the subscribers, the client. Okay, this is how about the scaling about our WebRTC scheduling server. So basically, we can support a distributed a scheduling server as well. And we have the each client, different clients can connect to different scheduling servers, and we have some internal mechanisms to make sure the scheduling are also works without any problem, even if they are connected to different scheduling servers. So actually, in order to support the media processing functionalities that we described just before, we have actually fully leveraged Intel hardware capabilities. The most straightforward task is to accelerate the video decoding and audio and encoding using the GPU. So Intel, we actually utilize the Intel graphics and also the latest Intel Visual Computing VCA card in our MCU server to leverage the GPU capabilities to accelerate the decoding and encoding steps in our MCU. And also in our client SDK, we also try to enable the hardware acceleration as much as possible, especially for the Android and Windows SDK, which is provided by us. So we actually for Android SDK, we almost enabled all of the hardware codecs for VP8 and H.264. And for browsers, because the browser is maintained by Google and Mozilla, so we can do many things, but we also worked with the upstreams to try to push some hardware acceleration codecs in such kind of browsers. And besides the codec support acceleration, we also utilize the hardware capability in other areas, like we know that WebRTC is requiring us to do encryption and decryption of each packet. So we actually x86 instructions provide some instruction support to such kind of encryption and decryption, and so we also utilize those instructions to hardware instructions to do such kind of thing. And in our Android and Windows SDK, we also did some more optimizations in media capturing and rendering, which is basically trying to reduce some memory copies between GPU and CPU. This is the instruction to the Intel VCA card we are currently using to do some hardware codec acceleration of our MCU. This is actually a new product which provides a very strong media processing capabilities, and it can actually be put into a Xeon E5 server. And this is the introduction of our WebRTC client SDK. So we have JavaScript, Android, iOS, and Windows SDKs. So this is a feature list that we supported for now. So basically audio and video communication, screen sharing, and data channel, codec support, and we are currently still working on actually adding more and more support to the Windows and the iOS SDKs. Currently, the JavaScript and Android SDK are more mature than iOS and Windows, but we are working on this. This is some sample code of the to show how to use our client SDK. So basically, we have some of the APIs Already mentioned by me just now, so we have some join some APIs, for example, to join a conference and to publish a stream and to subscribe a Steam stream. So you can use either JavaScript SDK or Android SDK or iOS SDK to do such kind of thing. Okay, so we have a web page, webodyssey.intel.com. So if you are interested, so you can visit this web page. And on this web page, you can find more details about our product, and you can also download the solution, our MCU and gateway, and as well as our client SDK. So you can actually download the solution and follow, and you can follow our user documents and the guidelines to set up a conference conference server or gateway, and then you can also use our SDKs to develop some basic applications to utilize our conference server and SDK. And we also provide some basic examples in our package so that you can just, for example, to do a quick start to just use our sample example to see how our solution can provide to you. And so all of those stuff you can download from those websites. Okay, I think that's all for my presentation. So, is there any questions from you?
Okay, so any questions about Intel solutions and the GPU hardware encoding that they provide? In the meantime, I have one question. In our community, Linux is very popular, and I didn't recognize in your presentation that. Do you plan, and is it on your roadmap, to support Linux-based solution and providing this GPU architecture on standard Debian or any CentOS distribution?
Sorry, do you mean the GPU acceleration on? Because I'm sorry, but I hear a lot of background noises. I'm not sure where does it come from. But so I only capture some words like GPU acceleration. So can you please repeat it?
Yeah. So my question was mainly about that. Will your GPU-based hardware-accelerated encoding, decoding also support Linux?
Is it you?
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So I have a question.
Okay.
So okay. I hope you can hear and understand me. So I already looked at your solution. So I like your documentation. I like your SDKs. But what I don't like is your lack of virtualized transcoding. So it's really missing. So that we have to run the server, on a non-virtualization environment, or to buy a very expensive GPU solution. And another point is that I looked at is the missing of G722. So if you do a conference, you only, as far as I know, you only support G711 and Opus.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of commercial-based SIP endpoints, if you do gateway, they only support G722 or AEC, some AEC codecs. So I think it's a must-have.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the suggestion. Yeah, but about your first question about the GPU acceleration, so actually, this is not a must-have. So if you run our solution on some servers which doesn't have the GPU, or if we are going to run our solution on some cloud or some virtual machines, you can also run it, but because we also have the software implementation of the encoder and decoder, so you can use that. The functionality is also not impacted, but maybe the performance is not that good. So this is also a choice for you actually to run a solution without the need to run some specific hardware with the GPU support. And also for the audio codecs, we are also considering to add some more codec support, including G722 or something else. This is on our plan, but I can't. For now, I cannot give, for example, a timeline or something like that. But we are doing that. We are kind of working on that to add more codec support and to make it to be able to interoperate with more devices.
Okay. Thanks. Any other question? If remotely, is there any question for the remote participants? Please go ahead. Okay, so if no question, then many thanks for presenting and all the efforts you put in to be here today. And we appreciated your presentation, and we are very keen to hear about this new GPU-based things, and we would love to hear any updates in the future also to how this hardware-based encoding things will evolve and. I think we all have some supercomputing centers around in our research and education network, and we use already GPUs somehow and somewhere. So maybe if we could reuse such GPUs for video and voice conferencing, transcoding, then it could be a nice feature. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the things work. But many thanks and give applause, please.
Okay, thank you.